Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, NoParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, we had a great day street preaching at a tractor pull event in central Wisconsin. Thousands heard the gospel. Gospel cards went out. What a glorious thing we get to do. I want to come to you today and start in Matthew 17, starting with verse 1. Catch up on our verse-by-verse teaching. Matthew 17, verse 1. Let's get right at it. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. All right, so in this chapter, we have, beginning of the chapter, we have Jesus and the disciples going to a mountain. And Jesus has something happen to him that is seemingly preparing him for what's about to come in his ministry, his death and resurrection. Some interesting notes to talk about here. This is similar to what happened to Moses when Moses talked to God and he was close to God. You remember this account when he came away and his face was shining? Exodus 34:29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. And when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Interesting, isn't it? So Jesus has this happen to him. Moses, kind of a similar situation. Let's look at this word transfigured. Metamorpho. This is where we get our word metamorphosis from, like when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, right? It means a changing, right? So Jesus was changing from the appearance of a regular man, which he was, fully man, but his appearance was changing to show the glory and the light of God. Now think about this. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that in heaven, there'll be no need of a sun because Christ is going to be the light for the new Jerusalem. Isn't that awesome? Here's Jesus in the transfiguration, shining with light. Now, the Apostle John mentions the glory they saw. John 1:14. And when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John mentions that. So they saw Jesus' glory. They saw this light. This had a profound effect on them, showing them who Jesus was, what he was about to do, what was going to happen. Yeah, think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. More evidence of Jesus' ministry and his godhood. I also like to note, I always say this, that word raiment, go look it up. Himatian, it's a robe or a tunic. Yeah, Jesus wore a robe or a tunic. So did every godly man in the Bible. Godly women always wore dresses and robes. It's all over Scripture, new and old. I just like to point that out. So we see Jesus' body's transformed. He had light coming from his face, even from that clothing, from his raiment. And again, I believe this was to back up that he was no ordinary man. He's showing them what's about to happen in his ministry. He's about to go away and he will go into his kingdom. Remember at the end of Matthew 16, Jesus mentioned some standing here will see him coming into his kingdom. I believe that's what is being talked about here. He dies, rises again, and where does he go? To the right hand of the Father. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of power of God. So all these men that were there lived to see this happening to Jesus. That takes care of Matthew 16 that we talked about at the end of it. Pretty interesting. The transfiguration of Jesus, transforming him from his normal manhood into the glory that was about to come upon him after his death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. All right, so this could be a study all in its own. There's so many reasons people say it was critical that Moses and Elijah were seen with Jesus on the mountain. But I, for this study, I'm just going to bring up the one reason that I think is probably the most prominent. And that is that Moses represents the law. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, representing the prophets. And what does this do? This brings the law, the prophets, and Jesus all together. Remember, Jesus said he came to fulfill it when he says it is finished at his death before the resurrection. That means it's fulfilled. We see Moses, Elijah, the law, the prophet, and Christ, the ultimate prophet, all together. I think that's the most prominent reason why we see this. Also, Moses and Elijah each had mountain experiences with God. Exodus 34, 1 Kings 18. Go read about those. So again, it's tying the old to the new. Old Testament, New Testament. Old law, old prophets, new prophet. Isn't that awesome? God's word always ties things up for us if we look and see for these things. And this would have meant so much to the Jews of that day, because Moses and Elijah and the law was so important to them. Christians today can't understand that, but that's all they had for thousands of years. The other thing this shows is God is the Lord of life, not death. We see Moses and Elijah, they're alive, right? That's how we're going to be one day after death if we're born of Christ. See how God is the Lord of life, not the Lord of death. These men live because of their faith. What a great promise to us. Verse 4, and then Peter, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us here make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, this seems to me to be a clear reference to what they practiced in the Old Testament, something called the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Israelites would go and dwell in tents or booths as part of this feast. You can read about that in Leviticus 23. Peter was a Jew. He would have grown up with all of this. This was part of his life, his upbringing. I think that's what Peter is referring to there when he says, hey, let me make a tabernacle for you guys. That's probably what Peter was thinking about. Verse 5, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So at this transfiguration, we have a similar happening like we saw at the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3. We see God speaking, we see the Son, and obviously something's taking place with the Spirit and the transfiguration of Jesus, putting the three in one all together, Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you look for it, it's all over the Scriptures. This is more proof that Jesus is getting prepared, getting ready to go into his spiritual kingdom. Can't do it as a regular man, can you? No, flesh and bones do not inherit the kingdom of God. He's getting ready to be transformed. He's allowing his disciples to see it. He's showing them Moses and Elijah, more proof to who he is. What a glorious Savior. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. All right, so here the disciples get it right. Many times they had lack of faith and they did things wrong. Here they get it right. How do they get it right? They fall on their face in great fear and reverence. Proverbs 9:10 says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. They were fearful. They knew what was happening. They knew they were in the presence of a God-man. They knew they heard God's voice. Yeah, I think we would probably feel the same way, do the same thing. Praise God for the disciples that they had that reverence for God. Let that be a remembrance for us. Fear and reverence, very good things. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. All right, so Christ comes and he assures them all's well. And I don't know what else to say about this. verse, except it reminds me of this verse, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we see these disciples having this fear of God, which is proper, but then God is right with them. He reaches out to them and says, everything's okay, guys. And their fear goes away because of the love of God. We are to fear God, but when we're close to Him, we're friends of God in unity due to Christ, that love casts out the fear. Isn't that beautiful? Ponder that. That's a deep one. Go ponder that. Verse 8, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So they saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Now when they look up, there he's gone, or those men are gone, and Jesus is only there. And again, these men were Jews. They knew about Moses and Elijah. This had great, great, great meaning to them. I'm sure they were going to go run and tell everyone else when they were allowed to tell them. We'll get to that in a minute. The experience that they had was another piece of the puzzle, proving to the disciples the ministry, what's about to happen, that God's in control, and the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No doubt this prepared them for the task that was just ahead of them, to go preach the gospel, stand against the cruel Roman Empire, and even most all of them had to die for their faith. Some of them, all of them, cruel deaths. John got to die in a prison. History says John was boiled in oil. He didn't die. That's history. I'm not so sure it's true, but that's what history says. But all the other disciples, John died in a prison in Patmos. All the other disciples were brutally murdered and tortured. This is obviously preparing them for the task ahead. Maybe all of this played a part in their boldness as they saw it with their own eyes or heard it from trusted men like Peter, John, and James, seeing this transfiguration. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Yeah, in the book of Acts, we see these men becoming super bold, probably because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's probably the biggest reason. But also, when they put all the pieces together about what happened with Jesus. Now, when he was still on earth to them, they didn't get it. Now they're seeing this transfiguration. He's telling them he's got to go and die at their hands. He's reminding them he's going to rise again. Yeah. Once it all happened, they went, hey, this is what happened. Remember all that stuff he told us, guys. Remember? John 14, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. That's what happened to these men. And they became bold men of God. What a glorious thing. We can have that too, saints. We can know the truth of God, know who Christ is, know this is all in His word and ways, and we can have boldness by the Holy Spirit as well. I encourage you in that. Pray for boldness. Use it in the ministry God's called you to. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So that right there, he's telling them, I'm going to rise from the dead. They should have known that. We see later they didn't. They were scared. They didn't know what was going on. But as we discussed in Matthew 16, Jesus wants his mission to go on to fulfill the Father's will perfectly. He doesn't want the masses of Israelites rushing in on him, causing issues with the Romans. He wants to fulfill his ministry. That's his goal. That's what he's focused on. Becoming the Lamb of God, defeating death. Wow. What a glorious Savior that we have, that he went and paid this ultimate price and purchased us with his blood. He says, once he's risen, go tell the truth. And that's when he said, go, preach it from the mountains. What I told you in secret, go, say it loud. Yeah, what a glorious gospel we get to preach. Telling of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. I was just preaching it today. My voice held out through this teaching. Praise God for that. We no longer have a reason to be silent, saints. They had a reason to be silent so the Messiah could do his finished work. Today we have the finished word of God. Today we have the finished gospel. And we can go preach the gospel with boldness, with a surety, with the backing of the word of God, and with the Spirit of God. That's what God was setting all these men up for. And you know what? We have 2,000 years of history, the finished word of God, the Holy Spirit. When you come by the gospel, check it out at don'tperish.com. No reason to be silent or timid because of this glorious Savior. Hey, I'm going to stop right there. Next time, we're going to pick it up at verse 10. We'll start up at Matthew 17, verse 10. I hope that edified you. I got to go get some rest. Got to go catch up on some emails, actually, and then later get some rest. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. I hope you're enjoying this verse-by-verse study. Go check out the street preaching videos, sisters' blogs, thousands of articles, audios to edify you in the faith. There's so much to God's word for us to hold on to. I hope you're seeking the kingdom with all that you are. Let us know how we can help you in that. Till next time, we love you all. Have a glorious day. May God be praised.